WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. Sentencing later this morning in South Carolina for Alec Murdaugh, facing 30 years to life in prison, convicted of killing his wife Maggie and son Paul.
Mr. Murdaugh, you now having been found guilty of two counts.
That verdict came in after just under 3 hours of deliberations. The jury siding with the prosecution that focused arguments on several key revelations. First, Murdaugh admitted to lying to police about his whereabouts the night of the murders. Second, that two crucial items are still missing, a family gun and Murdaugh's clothes. And third, alleging the fourth generation lawyer committed the murders in an effort to preserve his legal legacy and gain sympathy, just as his law firm was on the verge of uncovering his alleged financial crimes.
ABC's M. Nguyen. The Justice Department says former President Trump can be sued by Capitol Police officers and Democratic lawmakers over the January 6th insurrection. Severe weather in the South, suspected tornadoes striking parts of Texas and Louisiana. This is ABC News. Today, President Biden awards the Medal of Honor to retired Army Colonel Paris Davis, recognizing his bravery on the battlefield in Vietnam. Davis, one of the first black officers in the special forces, held off the enemy with his team for 18 hours, pulling three injured men to safety despite being wounded himself. Congress is cracking down on George Santos, the House Republican, now the subject of an ethics probe into his lies and finances. ABC's Faith Abube tells us the move is bipartisan.
The House Ethics Committee has voted unanimously to investigate Santos. A separate subcommittee was also formed because of just the sheer number of allegations, which include whether Santos lied to the House in his disclosure statements and accusations of campaign finance violations.
Santos says he will cooperate with the investigation. The White House says it's deeply concerned about what appears to be the deliberate poisoning of schoolgirls in Iran, hundreds of them sickened by toxic fumes at 30 schools. Iran's president launching an investigation. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Over the years, you've really kept up with the times. You're on social media.
Like...
like, dislike, block.
Maintained your health.
10,000 steps. I'm a beast.
You even programmed your own smart home.
In 10 minutes, remind me that I'm a genius.
In 10 minutes, I'll remind you that you're a genius.
If you can do all that, you can definitely save for retirement. Just go to aceyourretirement.org, a free online tool sponsored by AARP that can help you get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll meet Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach, and in just 3 minutes, get personalized recommendations to help boost your retirement savings. They're easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's brought to you by AARP, so you know they got your back.
You are a genius.
Take charge of your retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org now. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1 minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense on this Friday, March 3rd, 2023. It's another beautiful day here on Lake Wissota. Wish you were here. Coming up this morning, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil will help us break down some of the stories, the big stories of the past week, including the evidence that continues to be uncovered about Fox News as part of a lawsuit revealing just how much wrong information about the 2020 election their anchors and management knowingly passed off as news when it indeed was fake news. And in a related story, we'll tell you about some of the fake comments coming from right-wing leaders at this year's CPAC conference coming up a little later as well. In our next hour, we have a special guest on a topic that, I can't believe we have to say this out loud, but democracy should be bipartisan. Former Missouri Congressman Richard Gephardt spent a decade as House Democratic leader and also ran for president, and now he's on a speaking tour, including stops in Wisconsin this week, with groups that are sponsoring community discussions on the future of democracy and what's at stake if election results continue to be challenged without basis, undermining democracy. Also, Mark Jacob, a former editor with the Chicago Tribune, joins us for his Friday overview of how the national media covers the big stories of the week. And there was a big mayoral election in Chicago this week. It was simply the primary, but the primary election itself provided some very big news with an incumbent mayor losing a bid for re-election in Chicago for the first time in a long time. We'll check in with meteorologist Michael Cairo later from Weatherology to take a look at the weekend forecast for us. And Dan Schumacher will come along to help us with the weekend sports preview and also tell us a bit about the NFL Combine. He and I were talking yesterday, and the Combine was on the TV, and he reminded me that he had taken part in it many, many years ago, many, many years ago, for those of us whose hair has gotten a little grayer over time. We would be happy to take your calls and comments on the news of the week, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155, or just send us a note, email, or you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. If you ring up the phones, one Aaron Zommers will pick it up and say hi and say, what the heck do you want? And then get it all screened for us. Aaron, good morning.
Hi, what the heck do you want?
Exactly. See, that's what you get. That's the pleasant customer service that we provide here at Up North News Radio. One quick sports note. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team lost to the Purdue Boilermakers 63-61 yesterday as the college basketball season, the regular season, starts to wind down and we get into tournaments. Aaron, are you a March Madness bracket betting person?
Not really. I haven't really gotten into it in the past.
Mm-hmm. I did a long time ago when working at the radio or the TV station at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. You know, whoever a sports guy was would do brackets each year. And one year I actually did win it, but you know, like all brackets, it's all guesswork, you know, it's, you get lucky. And then the next year I was defending my title and somebody was working on the brackets. And then that person, I forget if they were let go or if they left on their own, but regardless they left. And then like a week later I won, but the winnings were long gone. So, which of course, you know, it being gambling, we were only, you know, betting for pennies anyway. So it didn't really matter, more or less. Right. So have you been a winner on any of these types of things, or cause they are just complete guesswork.
Oh, I mean, definitely. They really are. You can pretend that you have some idea, and yeah, you can have some idea and be like, well, I think this team's good, but it's not like you're that much more advantaged over somebody just writing down random teams.
Right. Well, the thing is they've had those contests about brackets. And if you get a perfect bracket, you win, you know, a gazillion dollars or whatever it is. But the odds of getting a perfect bracket, you know, picking every one of those games is just insane. So, well, what I'm trying to say is don't get caught up in the gambling aspect of it, or even the bracket, watch the games. You either like the game or you don't. If you're doing it for brackets, I mean, have cockroach races or whatever, and set up brackets for that instead. Let's see. We've got the Oscars are still a little over a week away. And so I'm going to be talking to Christina Laurie here shortly for the Uplift for early next week. And she's working on stories that include Wisconsin connections to blockbuster movies and Oscar winners who have Wisconsin ties, you know, Orson Welles being one of them. But when I think of movie tie-ins with Wisconsin, you know, of course, being up here in Chippewa Falls, I always think of the same couple of things. One is in Tommy Boy, you know, of all the road signs they pass along the way, there's one that says, you know, Chippewa Falls 100 miles away. And then there's Titanic, where Jack Dawson says that he worked on Lake Wissota or ice fished on Lake Wissota or something, which would be a historical impossibility because Lake Wissota wasn't created until 5 years after the Titanic sank. But, you know, I asked that as a trivia question last week in a Courier Newsroom online trivia game. I thought for sure somebody might catch that of all of our outlets in all the different states around the country. And I'm not going to say it's common knowledge, but I thought for sure somebody would get it, and I ended up stumping the entire company with my Jack Dawson Lake Wissota trivia.
I mean, if you don't live on Lake Wissota, maybe you just don't think of it. Like, I had no idea until I heard you say it a few weeks ago.
I thought it was one of those, you know, blooper thing, you know, movie bloopers. People like to look for those things. I thought it was better known than that, but that'll learn me. I know something truly trivial. We'll take a break and be back with more after this. You're up north.
Hey, this is Matt from Design.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Stations and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, it's not your typical bumper music, I grant you that. But I put it up there because it's a... We've got a lot of birthdays today. that's the short answer. We're usually at 6:50. We talk about this day in history. We take a little music break. We tell you some birthdays. There's so many of them that we thought we'd spill them over a bit here. Claire Dunphy, actress Julie Bowen, is 53 years old today. Actress Jessica Biel is 41. And then there's Herschel Walker, the one-time football great turned political not very great at all, is 61 years old today. And on the topic of Republicans behaving badly, I was going to talk a bit about CPAC. Later, Kiev Akil is going to talk about the Dominion lawsuit that has really exposed people to Fox News. Stephen from Green Bay is calling in as well on that very subject of Fox quote-unquote news. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. I usually don't get to listen to your show because I'm usually in bed snoring, so.
Well, thank goodness for your insomnia. Do you have something special today?
I actually got scheduled to work a double at work today, so that's why I'm awake.
What do you do?
I'm actually a cook at a hospital.
Oh, bless you. Okay, how long have you been doing that?
Just a little over a year.
Okay, do you enjoy it?
I do. I get the opportunity to serve my community, and I've always wanted to do that, so I like doing that.
That's great. I appreciate that very much. So, Stephen, what's on your mind regarding Fox and the Dominion lawsuit that's kind of exposing what their business model has been like?
So I heard about the lawsuit. I know Fox News isn't covering it because they censor the news. But I brought this up the other day on the Earl Ingham show, and I think I just repeat what I said on there. Sure. To you. I really feel like Fox is trying to set up a narrative. If any other news outlet reports something or you know, disagrees with what they have to say or their point of view, it's fake news. I really feel like they're trying to set up a narrative where they're the only news source and get people brainwashed into thinking they're the only real news outlet. And when you have a news company that's trying to do that, and then it comes out that they're doing that for ratings and for profit, it really becomes dangerous, because then you have people that are tuned in on one station getting all of their information, and that information is highly, highly politicized to the right. It's not correct half the time, and some of the time it's just a bold-faced lie. So I think it's really dangerous, and I really hope that, you know, something, not just money, but I really hope something comes out of this where Fox News is forced to be a news station or remove that from their title, because right now they're more of an entertainment channel than a news channel.
Very much so, Stephen. It's why they actually aren't on in places like Canada. You know, they have actual standards for what constitutes news. And one of the best things that could come of this whole thing isn't, I mean, a financial judgment would be great, but just increased public awareness that, you know, this is not a news network. It is a propaganda network. But Stephen, I want to bounce something off you. It's something that I've wrestled with whenever people talk about this and whether anything will change. Some people very close to me who have become basically Fox News watchers, when I talked to them and said, look, you know me, I'm a journalist. I can tell you what's right and what's wrong, and I try to set them straight on something, the answer that I get back sometimes, and it really kind of hits me, you know, like a fist in the chest, is, well, maybe they all lie, but this is what I want to believe is true. And that's my concern, Stephen, is that even after all this is done, when it's been proven that Fox lies about things like this, as long as enough of their audience wants to believe it's true, they're still going to do it. And that to me is like the great American puzzle that I can't figure out right now. I don't know if you feel the same or if you have any words of wisdom to help me feel better.
Well, here's my thoughts on that. I'll be honest with you. I used to be a Fox News. Heck, I used to be a conservative until the conservative movement went so far right and went off the rails. I was like, I can't possibly in good conscience be part of this anymore. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, your comment on people saying, you know, that's what they want to believe, I know how that goes. I grew up with grandparents who were very rural, very Republican. And, you know, you could tell them, you know, the Republicans were going to take their firstborn baby, and they would, you know, they'd be like, you're lying. The Republicans would never do that to me. I think, unfortunately, and this is just my perspective on the issue, the first thing we need to do is, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So we definitely need to be out there, you know, voicing the right thing. But beyond that, I really think the older generation that has been Republicans their whole life, I don't think they're going to, you know, all of a sudden be like, oh, my gosh. Because then they would have to admit that their whole life that they have been following something that, you know, isn't correct. And for a lot of people, that's a scary thought. But we do have a new generation that's coming into the picture. And I really think it's important to educate that new generation and make sure that this doesn't continue.
You're so right on every one of these points, Stephen. And it is actually, despite my question sounding depressing, it actually is where I hang my hat, is looking at younger generations coming up right now, not just teens and 20s, but even people in their 20s, 30s. They have given me a lot more hope for a future that recognizes how far off the rails things have gone on the, you know, conservative side of the aisle, which, again, to your point, and a point I've made frequently, I have Republican friends. I have conservative friends. They're great people. There's times I agree with them. There's times they agree with me. We all recognize just how far away from the mainstream some of these folks have gone. And thankfully, more young people are catching that all the time. So I appreciate the discussion about it, Stephen. And again, thanks for all you do. And thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend. Appreciate that very much from Stephen. And if you'd like to jump on as well, again, our numbers are 844-967-2789, or the Up North line is 715-388-7155. It is part of, as well, the conflict of this particular program is that when people hear some of the things that I, you know, say about conservative politicians, about right-wing politicians, about right-wing media, and they think that this is a program that's going to be very, you know, bombastic and almost bullying toward the right, when it's really not that so much as it is that somebody finally has to stand up to some of these folks, you know, who are so extreme, who are engaged in rhetoric that winks or encourages violence and just does tell flat out lies, and somebody's got to call them out on it. And there's always the, when you're discussing, you know, how do you quote unquote deprogram people who have been, you know, locked into right-wing media without pushing them away, without, you know, because they're going to say, wait, are you calling me stupid? And, you know, have that kind of reflex response. And that is the challenge, is to call out the BS that's out there, but do it in a way that the anger falls on the people who are concocting the BS and not the people who are watching it and happen to believe it, because those are friends and neighbors who can still see the more factual point of view, shall we say. And that's a lot of what we want to do here at Civic Media. It's what we do at Courier Newsroom and Up North News, is with my apologies for those of you who have heard this once, twice, or 10 times before. You can absolutely have a slightly right-of-center newsroom, a slightly right-of-center talk show. Just don't lie to people. Don't make up stuff like what we're hearing at CPAC this week. Much like you can have, you know, this left-of-center radio group or group of newsrooms or news outlets. And all left-of-center means, or right-of-center in this case, is your values. And if you go to the Up North News website, upnorthnewswi.com, and you click on About Us, it's a very lengthy page, but it is a page of the values that we who work at Up North News espouse and that we don't hide from. And as a result, you know, when you see us covering a news story, you will understand better why what we're doing, you know, writes the way that it does or sounds the way that it does. We make very clear we're not going to engage in both sides coverage, which so much of, you know, legacy media does these days. They speculate endlessly on, you know, is Joe Biden this or that, simply because they feel like they have to promote this both sides narrative. And you don't have to. And we put up values that say, I'll read one right off the page here. Everyone should have a right to freely and easily cast a vote. And it only stands to benefit our communities when as many people are engaged in the civic process as possible, whether that's making their voice heard at a school board meeting or casting a ballot on election day. That is absolutely, are we biased here? Yeah, we are so biased for free elections. We are biased for democracy, and we are not going to both side something like, Dan Kelly working as a paid consultant to the Republican Party as they were contemplating putting up a slate of fake fraudulent electors as part of Donald Trump's scheme to overturn the election. There's no way to both sides that. So we're not, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt because there isn't one to offer. That doesn't mean that Dan Kelly, in this particular instance, can't be right about other things. But our value is that elections should be free and fair. And so if he, while running for state Supreme Court right now, has engaged in action that runs afoul of that value, we're going to talk about it. And we mentioned as well, you know, access to health care and affordable housing and labor unions and the climate. All of these things, you look at them and you can say, then once you look at that page, you can say, okay, I don't agree with them on this point or that point, but at least you know where we're coming from and you can keep that in mind as you listen to the rest of our coverage. I'd love to see more of that from media on the right side of things, because then I know that they're not going to, well, lie about things like, you know, the COVID vaccine is, and then insert misinformation there. You can disagree with compulsory vaccination programs and all sorts of other things, but don't lie about the science behind something like this. And again, you know, the time I was going to spend in this segment talking about the CPAC conference and the honestly mean and nutty things that people were saying, I think that time was better spent with one of our listeners talking about where they come from and how people who might still be entranced by the rhetoric of CPAC can be pulled back from the factual abyss, I guess we could call it. All right, we're going to take a break. And after this, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil is going to have more to say about the Dominion lawsuit on Fox and also a couple of other matters. We'll start with some good news about the news this week, things that were good for bipartisan infrastructure, things that were good for insulin prices. We recorded this earlier, of course, because he's in California, but we're going to play that back in just a bit on Up North News Radio for a Friday.
You are listening to You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. Sentencing later this morning in South Carolina for Alec Murdoch, facing 30 years to life in prison, convicted of killing his wife Maggie and son Paul.
Mr. Murdaugh, you now having been found guilty of two counts of murder.
That verdict came in after just under 3 hours of deliberations. The jury siding with the prosecution that focused arguments on several key revelations. First, Murdaugh admitted to lying to police about his whereabouts the night of the murders. Second, that two crucial items are still missing, a family gun and Murdaugh's clothes. And third, alleging the fourth generation lawyer committed the murders in an effort to preserve his legal legacy and gain sympathy, just as his law firm was on the verge of uncovering his alleged financial crimes.
ABC's M. Nguyen. The Justice Department says former President Trump can be sued by Capitol Police officers and Democratic lawmakers over the January 6th insurrection. Severe weather in the South, suspected tornadoes striking parts of Texas and Louisiana. This is ABC News.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostovsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Not right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostovsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostovsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that my brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right?
He's older, but I
live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, stories I share, my own personal experience was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov.
/the right seat.
Good morning, starshine.
As we tell you every Friday morning at this time, it's 6:33 in the morning, which means it's 4:33 in the morning in Los Angeles. So when you hear Kia Vakil's voice right now, take heart, it's not 4:33 in his world. It's Wednesday afternoon, but he's still going to help us, as he always does every week, sum up the news. I don't have to talk this quietly anymore. You're not sleeping, Kia. How are you? Good morning.
I am well. I am grateful to not be talking to you at 4:30 in the morning.
Hey, you are always welcome to, although if you're calling into the station at 4:30 in the morning, I might be hesitant to put you on just because it might be the end of an all-nighter or something. So
Yeah, it also, I am not confident that I would make any sense at that time of the morning.
Let's keep it all sensical then. And let's start with some good news here, because we learned at midweek that thanks to, I would say it's pressure from the Biden administration and certainly many others as well, but you've got Eli Lilly saying that they're going to lower the cost of insulin pretty much across the board, and not just for people on Medicare, which is something the federal government could do. I mean, this is a nice little piece of good news for something that, frankly, the prices shouldn't have been jacked up that much to begin with, but we'll still take the good news.
Yeah, Eli Lilly announced on Wednesday they are cutting a couple of their different most common prescribed insulin products, the cost of them by 70%. And then arguably more importantly, they're capping customers' out-of-pocket costs to $35 a month for anyone with private insurance. And if you'll note, that's the exact same amount that the Biden Medicare copay cap caps insulin at for seniors each month. I don't think that's a coincidence that they arrived at the exact same number just weeks after that copay cap goes into effect. Insulin only costs, you know, somewhere between $4 to $10 a vial to manufacture. It's not expensive. It's super cheap, but they've been selling it for up to hundreds of dollars a vial and charging that much for their customers. I'm sorry, that's my cat's food dispenser going off, but they got to get their life-sustaining nutrients as well. But no, this is a huge deal, and it comes after months of pressure from the Biden administration, and even, you know, to their credit, a handful of Republicans who've called for the insulin copay cap. I think Josh Hawley is one of them who, you know, he's an insurrectionist. I loathe that about him. But he on this issue, he's in the right. You know, insulin should not cost that much. And so a lot of millions of diabetics, you know, will benefit from this. And frankly, Eli Lilly could, too. If people know that insulin is cheaper, if it's an Eli Lilly product, they might look for that rather than another company that charges substantially more.
Yeah, one of the first things that I heard in reaction to this was, "Oh, I'm sure they're going to make it up somewhere." And I said, "I don't think so. I think they're one of the few things I know about business is that sometimes you have something called a loss leader, where you go, look, if I really give a discount on this, I'm going to get some other business elsewhere." And you've pretty much spelled that out, that they think that will it not only engenders goodwill but may engender some other business as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a diabetic. I don't want to pretend to know, you know, a ton about what it's like to be a diabetic. But if I have the option for one insulin that costs, and my doctor has told me I can take either drug, one insulin that, you know, is substantially cheaper than another, and they're the same impact on me, obviously I'm going to take the cheaper one. So, you know, that's not to like praise Eli Lilly beyond this announcement. It's right. Still a giant multi-billion-dollar global conglomerate. So this is literally the least they can do.
But it is some good news. And look, yes. Well, even story number two is going to be in the good news department, and that relates to the bipartisan infrastructure law and the way that that's, you know, humming along. And that includes some of the latest allocations and announcements for Wisconsin and plenty of other states of, you know, the kinds of projects that are going to be funded thanks to this bipartisan law.
Yeah, I mean, the law was passed almost 2 years ago now, August of 2021. So, and every week there's announcements about, you know, new round of funding. You know, just the other day, they announced additional funding for airports across the country, including the airport in Milwaukee, General Mitchell, about $5 million to, you know, replace the roof in one of the concourses there, which will, you know, be an upgrade. And that's happening all across the country. They're expanding terminals, they're expanding safety and convenience and security measures. You know, air travel is not fun. It has not been fun in the recent years. And so, and airports specifically are the worst part of it, at least in my mind. So anything that can make airports better, a better user experience, is huge. And, you know, that law includes a lot of funding for airports. You know, just last week they announced funding for, I think, drinking water in certain states. So, you know, it's tackling PFAS contamination. So, you know, every week the law delivers more and more money to communities across the country, and that is good news.
And frankly, what you're going to hear from critics, from Republicans, is the word spending. There's all this spending, and there's just so much spending. And what you should really be hearing there is somebody's finally getting things done. It's not like these buildings are going to repair or replace themselves. It's not like these drinking water systems are going to repair or replace themselves. These are things that have been due, but Congresses and legislatures have sat on their hands, And so now, yeah, you spend money to do it, but that's how you get things done. And that's what we're seeing a longer list of all the time in this infrastructure bill. I mean, these are things we could probably talk about this weekly for years to come, just highlighting a different set of projects that, you know, we've known for years needed to be addressed and are finally being addressed.
Yeah, I would say two things to add to that. One is a not insignificant number of Republicans voted for that bill, because even they recognize that decades this country has underinvested in infrastructure, arguably since, you know, the 50s and 60s when we built out the interstate highway system. It's not a coincidence that the American economy became the superpower it is during and after World War II, when we invested in infrastructure and then has kind of stagnated since we stopped. And, you know, putting money into buildings, into roads, into airports, into water, those are investments in people and in the economy, and that will more than bring back what is spent.
I have to hearken back to my run for Congress almost a dozen years ago now, when meeting with a donor who I'd known since long before his days as kind of a big shot on Wall Street. And so it was kind of weird for this now big shot on Wall Street to want to support my campaign. But, you know, again, I've known him for forever. And I asked him, you know, some pretty honest questions about, you know, how he sees things from, you know, an investor point of view. And again, this was 2012 when I said, if you could tell any candidate, any politician, one thing that would really turn this country around, what would it be? And he said, if you talk to a lot of folks on Wall Street, they'd say the one big thing you could do would be go big on infrastructure. It would be bipartisan. It creates jobs. There's a hunger out there for it. And well, it's taken a decade since I got those, you know, words of wisdom from him. But it's frankly, I think we all kind of knew that, and we're just finally doing it. Somebody came out and actually did it, and with Republican votes, none from Wisconsin, I hasten to add, but he was right. It's big, it's bipartisan, and it's going to pay dividends for a long time to come. Let's switch over to something that does not have nearly the harmony, even though arguably it should, and that would be the student loan debt forgiveness plan that the Biden administration has. It has been delayed for quite some time, and it finally came up before the U.S. Supreme Court because some Republican attorneys general want to argue that, you know, there's a level of unfairness with it. What did you glean from the arguments that were made in front of what is admittedly a conservative majority court?
Yeah, I mean, that's the inescapable part of this, is if you're going just by the arguments and the law they cite, you know, the Biden administration is explicitly able to forgive or waive student loans, waive or modify, I believe is the rhetoric. But again, we have six justices who are right wing, varying degrees of right wing. And, you know, clearly there are at least four votes right now to strike down that forgiveness plan. And, you know, it's unclear. I would say it's leaning towards looking like the Biden administration's plan is going to be struck down by the court. You know, Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett were the two who seemed most willing to entertain the Biden administration's argument. So it's possible that, you know, the liberal judges could flip those two. But, you know, I am a borrower, actually, you know, I would not be feeling particularly confident, unfortunately, because you have six right-wing judges who pretty much seem to decide to do what they want to do when they want to do it in ways that benefit Republicans and conservatives.
Decision yet to come, but those arguments were made this week. And then we'll wrap things up with the news business, and especially the business of a news network that isn't really a news network, but the Dominion lawsuit against Fox quote unquote news has taken some interesting new turns since you and I spoke last. More revelations that they really knew they weren't in the news business. They were there to forward, you know, political messaging, even if they didn't actually believe it, which really kind of undercuts the whole notion of, you know, news.
Yeah, and I would say not just political messaging, but outright lies, conspiracies, and propaganda. They you know, these, there's two legal filings from Dominion, which is a voting machine company that is suing Fox News for defamation. And these filings, which are about 200 pages each, you know, show that Fox News hosts like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, executives like Rupert Murdoch, even journalists, they knew that what the, you know, what was being aired on their network was nonsense and lies and untrue. And they did it anyway because they were terrified of losing their viewers who were angry at them for calling Arizona for Joe Biden and for not being, you know, deferential enough to Trump's crazy voting conspiracies. You know, the documents lay out a remarkable amount of evidence that, you know, as viewers were fleeing to Newsmax and One America after the 2020 election, in the days and weeks after, Fox pivoted and decided to go all in on election denial to appease viewers who then did come back. And so it's, you know, it's not a news network. It's a propaganda outlet. And these filings prove that.
And the funny thing is, and yeah, we're going to toot our own horn in conclusion here. You could have a slightly right of center news network that simply comes out and says, hey, this is where our values are, but we're not going to lie to you, which is how we set all this up at Courier Newsroom and Up North News is, hey, we have left of center values, but our news is going to be fact based. And it wouldn't have taken much for Fox to have a business model that did just that, but they overreached. And not only are they paying in terms of, you know, their reputation to a degree, but they may be paying in a big way financially, depending on how this lawsuit goes.
Yeah, a Dominion is suing for $1.6 billion in damages. And, you know, their case is quite strong. That's not according to me, according to legal experts, which I am not. But that's a lot of money. You know, now Fox makes substantially more money than that, but that's not nothing. That's a pretty hefty fee or punishment, you know. But they also, you know, that would be warranted. They, as a network, were as responsible as any media entity for what happened on January 6th. They knowingly spread lies and conspiracies because of ratings and because of money. And, you know, there's always this notion that journalists and media outlets do everything for the ratings, and that's could not be less true in most cases. But unfortunately, in this case, that's exactly what happened. And, you know, that gives a bad name to all reporters, all journalists, all media companies. And that's unfortunate because most of us really do want to do a good job, even if we're values driven or left of center. I don't want to lie. I want to tell the truth. I want to be honest about my work. And the filings show that the few Fox reporters who dared to do that were punished. And so that's scary.
It's just that reminder again that this is not some kind of, you know, First Amendment case. The First Amendment does not protect you as a news organization if you are knowingly lying. And that's something that Fox is learning the hard way. Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Thanks as always. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Pat.
We always appreciate Kia's insight, and he appreciates that we don't ask him to do it live when it's still very early out west, but we still get to pick his brain nonetheless. We're going to take a break. We'll have this day in history. So along with our history lesson, we will take a break for music, then some news and weather at the top of the hour, and former Congressman Richard Gephardt coming up in our next hour on Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
They can't tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think.
Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
Hey folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a low-down, hoochie-coocher.
Cab Calloway, what a character for the time. And I think he would play well today. Just as easily. Minnie the Moocher, Cab Calloway recorded it on this day, March 3rd, 1931, on the Brunswick record label in New York City. Its significance is that it becomes the first jazz recording to sell a million copies. I think you could do something with that song today. On this day in 1845, Florida was admitted as the 27th state in the Union. In 1875, the first ever organized indoor game of ice hockey is played in Montreal. The Star-Spangled Banner was adopted as our national anthem on this day in 1931. And Elton John, we've talked about his album, Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player, a couple of times already back when it was released. It was on this day in 1973 that it reached the top of the album chart and stayed there for a couple of weeks. Happy 76th birthday to Jennifer Warren.
Sun goes down on a silky day.
Jennifer Warren was born this day in 1947 in Seattle. She won two Grammy Awards, both for duets. So this was her solo hit from 1976, Right Time of the Night. But then her Grammys and her duets came in 1983 with Joe Cocker for Up Where We Belong from An Officer and a Gentleman. And another movie soundtrack tune, 1987, along with Bill Medley, or when they did I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. So again, Jennifer Warren, 76 years old today. Let's see, you have to go ahead exactly 50 years to 1997 and say happy birthday to Camila Cabello. Yeah, that's going to stick in your ear for now. It just has a way. It's a very catchy little ditty there. 26 years old today for Camila Cabello. On this day in 1986, Metallica released their third studio album, Master of Puppets. Let's jump ahead to 2010 here. We're going to come back to 2008 in a minute because I have to turn the microphone over to Aaron for that one. But in 2010, Gorillaz released their third album, Plastic Beach. It featured many other popular artists like Snoop Dogg and Lou Reed. On this day in 2017, the Nintendo Switch was released. It's kind of easy to forget that this console is only 6 years old, given the renewed popularity that it had during the lockdown. It felt like everybody was looking for a Nintendo Switch. Now, let's go back to a couple of notes from 2008. Duffy's debut album, Rock Fairy, was released and would sell 9 million copies. This is Mercy off that one. And it was on the same day in 2008 that Chumbawamba, you remember from the song, I get knocked down, but I get up again, blah, 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 tub thumping. Chumbawamba, on this day in 2008, broke the world record for the album with the longest title. And it's a record they still officially hold. Here to read the entire album title of that Chumbawamba record is Aaron Zommers.
The boy bands have won, and all the copyists, and the tribute bands, and the TV talent show producers have won if we allow our culture to be shaped by mimicry, whether from lack of ideas or from exaggerated respect. You should never try to freeze culture. What you can do is recycle that culture. Take your older brother's hand-me-down jacket and restyle it, refashion it to the point where it becomes your own. But don't just regurgitate creative history, or hold art and music and literature as fixed, untouchable, and kept under glass. The people who try to guard any particular form of music are, like the copyists and manufactured bands, doing it the worst disservice, because the only thing you can do to music that will damage it is not change it, not make it your own, because then it dies, then it's over, then it's done, and the boy bands have won.
Longest album title ever. I don't know how I possibly missed that at the time, but it probably wouldn't have fit on any screen that I was looking at. Were you aware of this, or did you catch this when you were looking up the dates in history as well?
I caught it when I was looking stuff up. I definitely was not aware of this.
No, but it when you look at it, and I know y'all only heard it once, but it actually makes a lot of sense. I don't know what kind of dispute they were having with their record company that led to that as their album title, but it's a catchy little ditty, isn't it? All right. Sure. Also, when we look at our history lesson for the day, one of the things I thought we could do at Up North News is we've been pumping out daily newsletters for 3 years now, giving you a taste of news around Wisconsin. And so where relevant, we'll see what Up North News was covering in 2020 or 2021 or 2022. And in fact, there's a few relevant things for each of those years to pass along. On this day in 2020, in our newsletter, we passed along that Dan Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had details on how the previous week, the day after a shooting rampage in Milwaukee that took the lives of 5 people at the Miller Brewery, then Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly held a fundraiser just up the road in Waukesha County at a gun range. A Facebook post from the Waukesha County Republican Party outlined donation levels that were named after types of weapons. And then it notes that Kelly is being challenged by Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky. Karofsky would later go on to defeat Dan Kelly, who is now trying to get back on the state Supreme Court this April. On this day, 2 years ago in 2021, we had coverage of a new bill at the time that would bar trans students from school sports, and it was met with protests outside the Capitol. The bill's author, right-wing Republican Barbara Dietrich of Oconomowoc, said that it would be sexist if Governor Tony Evers didn't sign a bill like that. We quoted the bill's damage from Megan McDonald, executive director of Fair Wisconsin, who said bills like these can make trans youth feel unloved and unwelcomed and devalued. But such legislation at that point 2 years ago had been introduced in 24 states in a coordinated attack on trans student athletes. But Governor Evers made clear his message to transgender kids and students is simple. I see you. You are welcome. You are wanted and you belong. And yet to this day, the right wing still has nothing better to do than to bully trans kids, their families, and their allies. And then 1 year ago, there was an opinion column on our website at upnorthnewswi.com written by our friend, State Representative Francesca Hong, expressing her anger a year ago that the Republican leadership of the legislature had just ended the 2022 session for the year. They were going home for the rest of the year with full salary. And Hong wrote, "The freaking year? Voss and his fellow GOP representatives apparently think there's no more work to be done fighting for the people of Wisconsin and instead opting to do what they do best. Nothing. They won't consider our bills, and now they're taking a 10-month-long taxpayer-funded vacation." They did, and as we noted earlier this week, the Assembly just went through the entire month of February without passing any legislation either, but still getting paid. Former Congressman Richard Gephardt joins us in our next hour about making the democracy bipartisan again. You're up north.
Civic Media promised you something.
Team Clean in Kewaunee reminds listeners the results of child abuse are devastating. Every year, millions of children are subjected to it and many die. For the survivors, the pain inflicted on them as children influences their lives. If you or anyone you know needs help, call your local child abuse hotline. This message is from Team Clean in Kewaunee. Give them a call today at 920-255-5975. 920-255-5975. A safe and healthy childhood should last a lifetime.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media.